There is a scripture that came to me this morning as we were singing. And you're all very familiar with it. I think it's been used many times, but I think it's good for one more. It's found in 2 Peter chapter 1. And we can take a look at it. Verse 10. Maybe we should start with verse 5. Verse 10 is really what I want, but we'll start with verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. I like the way he starts it here concerning what it is he wants to tell us, because he preludes it in 1 through 4. He preludes it with the aspect of what it is that has happened, where we are concerning it, the attributes or the benefits that are ours because of it. And I liked his terminology. And he says in verse 5, let's see if I can find it again. And besides this, I like that. And besides this, because if you look at it, especially in verse 3 and 4, what has been done or the place or the benefit of what we have is something that was given to us by virtue of someone else. And unfortunately, with most Christianity, that's where it stops. Because we believe that on the basis of what it is that God has done, it is sufficient for us to be able to achieve or to receive what is being promised to us at the end of the day. Of course, most of us as Christians are looking to escape hell and to get into heaven. But Peter puts a, not an addendum, but a continuation concerning it. And he says, besides this.
Yes.
It's an interesting phrase, and I suppose if I knew more about the Greek and Hebrew, I could really give you some thought concerning it. But there is a position of responsibility. It's a delegation of a position of responsibility to me as an individual, as a believer in the Word of God. I have a responsibility. God has a responsibility. God has a responsibility to save me. In John chapter 1, he says, "This is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world." That is the aspect or the knowledge that man needs God. Let me by that, man needs not a God, but man needs Jehovah. Hallelujah. I like the way that the Hebrew expresses it in the beginning when it said, and God said, if you were to translate that, it would be an Elohim spoke. An Elohim is always is the word Elohim is the plurality of God. It's a name for his plurality.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So when Peter is talking about it, he said, now God has laid down the means by which we might achieve. God has, or we could say Elohim, has moved and made the provision for us in the aspect of what has happened to us in the experience that we have that we call salvation. And unfortunately, like I was saying, the most of Christianity, most of the Christian church, evangelical as well as Pentecostal, they stop at that point. They stop in the aspect that they believe or they have been taught or they have been taught or given a gospel that says that's all that is necessary. You just play out your life and do the very best you can under the auspices of this authority or this gift that has been given to you. And at the end of the day, if you have fulfilled the obligation on you as a Christian, then you will make it into heaven. And unfortunately, we, and I'm talking about all of us, we have that same kind of thought, if not consciously, subconsciously. Because in some respects, Christianity does not bring the change in our lives that it is designed to bring, because, quite frankly, it needs our participation with it. Hallelujah. So in most of Christianity, as well as outer court, a holy place, the thought or the theology is that we have this means by which we can make it to the end in spite of the fact of who and what we are. Hallelujah. And therein is the key. And therein also comes these different gospels of God's love, but that consists. We are supposed to love. Love is good, praise God. But love has an example. Love has set a type by which everything else will be measured according to that fact or that word called love. Hallelujah. For when it says God so loved, it says, and so forth, God so loved, so God gave. Hallelujah. And it isn't that he says gave his son. It wasn't. Now, you have to understand the concept or the thought of what this God is as it is expressed in the word Elohim. Elohim is the plurality. Whenever God referred to himself as Elohim, he's referring to the reality of the triunity of his being. And if we want to understand that triunity, you have to go into John chapter 17, where it says there in somewhere around verse 15, 16, maybe 20, 21, I'm not sure, where it says, why don't we look at that verse just to read it, make sure we get it right. Where he's talking about the oneness of God. Now my machine decides it's not going to work. That's why I like my Bible.
Yeah, I got it right there.
Well, that's good.
If you need it, you can
pause it. Okay, I want John 17. I guess you'll just have to bear with me. What verse is it? Okay.
Verse 5, is it?
No, it's there toward the latter part of the chapter.
Are you talking about where he's saying that?
Okay, verse 21. I want the verse 21.
Okay.
Verse 21, and it says, that they may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So the demonstration of oneness is not for the sake of unity.
Amen.
It is the sake of the demonstrating of the reality of God.
Amen.
We want to substitute unity for reality of God. And you will never have unity unless you have the reality of God.
Amen.
And you never have the reality of God unless it is the position of the preeminence of that God in you.
Born from the Spirit.
Hallelujah. Well, yes, you're born of the Spirit, but it's more than that. It's more complicated. It's more involved because it requires my participation with God. Let me go back. Let us go back to Second Peter. And was it the first chapter?
Yes.
First chapter, and you were in verse 5.
In verse 5, yes. Okay, it says, Okay, so it says, and beside these things, praise the Lord, beside these things, giving all diligence. Well, the word all, it means everything.
It
doesn't exclude anything.
No.
And now, remember, you have to take it in context with what he is talking about, and what he is talking about is my soul.
Yeah.
He's talking about my soul in a position or place of relationship with God. He was very, very good at setting the platform of what it is he's going to discuss. What he was going to discuss was the ability of God and the thought of God and the priority that God had concerning man and the thing that he did for man and the thing that he expected because of what he did. Hallelujah. That's what verse 3 and 4 is talking about. Hallelujah. Verse 5 and saying, now, on top of this, there is something else that God is expecting.
Yes.
And he's expecting me to apply the strength, the power of what is given to me in verse 3 and 4 to participate and to activate and to bring into a material manifestation the fact of what it is that he lines out in the following scriptures. Hallelujah. And if you go through them, which I don't know that I'm going to do, if you go through them, you find out that he is dealing with not abstract things, not theological concepts. He's talking about a nature.
Yes.
It is the description of a divine nature. Hallelujah. And on each one of these levels, these aspects of truth that detail a specific aspect or character of that nature. He talks about adding to your faith. What is he talking about when he talks about add to your faith? Well, it took a certain degree of participation with me. It took a certain degree of my participation with him to get to the place to where I can say, I have faith. Hello? Hallelujah. It was in the aspects of what he met me, and the Word of God convicted me and built a platform on which I could respond in an appropriate manner and say, yes, I'm a sinner. I need your blood. I need the reality of your salvation, right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That is a platform of faith. That is a position or a place or a beginning that of a relationship with you in God. God has now opened the door to you. You have experienced something, and in your act of obedience and the position of confession that you have made, you now have a sense that you did not have previously. Hello? Hallelujah. I do not know one person who has been born again, who has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, who does not have a testimony of the reality of it in their soul, that they can verbalize. Whether they say, well, I felt light, I felt burdened and heavy, and now I feel light and I feel free, whatever the case may be, however the terminology they want to express in trying to explain it, what they know indelibly is something in them is different.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Something else is different. Now God is saying, you have to utilize that knowledge. You have to utilize that experience. You have to bring it and work with it in order for you to now take the next step. Hallelujah. So, what does he say? He says, add to your faith virtue. Well, virtue, add to your faith virtue. Virtue is indicative or overall aspect of when you describe nature, you can use the word virtue.
Yes.
Huh? You say a man or a woman has no virtue.
Right.
What are you saying? He has no character. He has no integrity. He has no fidelity. He has no honesty. He has no ability to have a kindness or an ability to respond in a manner that is appropriate. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we are now dealing, the first position or the place that we find ourselves with God and the aspect of our conversion is that God brings to us the reality of a new nature.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He brings to us the reality of a new, the thought of a new nature. Not the nature of which caused you so much trouble and got you into the trouble that you were in when God met you, but it is now a nature that you have to work with God to develop. Praise the Lord. Because it's very specific. It says, whereas brethren, therefore rather, brethren, give diligence to what? Make your calling and election sure. And that is the word that the Lord spoke to me this morning. To give diligence means to move forward. It means to labor. It means to study. It also means to hasten or to make haste. It means to exert oneself. You know, when you exert yourself, you push yourself to a point or to the place of where it is you cannot be pushed any further, and you push yet again.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it says to exert oneself, endeavor, give diligence. Praise the Lord. So there is a responsibility for us to understand our position of accountability. Now, I don't know what the case is, but you take your children and you say to them, all right, you have to make your bed, you have to pick up your toys, you have to get dressed, and you have to be at breakfast at a certain time. There are certain steps, there are certain principles that you lay down. Now, as you know, as well as I know, children are not always so diligent to do what it is that they are told to do, right? They lack the diligence. How do you train them? What do you do to instruct them? Well, the first thing you do is you make a list, right? Isn't that right? Am I wrong? You make a list. You have to get up in the morning. You have to brush your teeth. You have to get up in the morning. You have to make your bed. You have to make sure your toys should be put away at night. But you have to clean up your room if it's not clean, right? Praise the Lord. You make a list of those attributes. Now, what if they don't follow the list? Hallelujah. Now, what you're trying to do is teach your children diligence. You put a sign up. Give all diligence to follow the list. Hallelujah. And in all of that, children are not born with diligence. They're born with distraction. They're easily distracted. They're easily dissuaded to do. They have other things they're thinking about. They have other things they want to do. Or they just don't want to do what they are told to do. Hello? Hallelujah. Well, is it much difference with us in God when we are born again? Because we are born again. We are born out of a nature, and now we are in a time frame or in a place that we have an undeveloped new nature within us. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. We have an undeveloped. It's not mature.
Right.
It's not grown. In fact, you can almost say that it's waiting to be programmed.
Right.
It's waiting to be programmed. And so it is quite necessary for us to understand the requirements that God has for us as newborn Christians. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, raising children is difficult, isn't it? I mean, you think that you got it all figured out, and then all of a sudden something comes along and just throws everything upside down. Hallelujah. But one of the things that are required in training of children is the consistency with which you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can tell one of these girls, well, you have to do this every day. You have to do this every day. But the nature of the individual is that they may do it the first day, but not the second day. Hello? Hallelujah. And they may not do it the third day, but they may do it the fourth day. How am I going to know whether they're doing it or not? I have to come and look. I have to come and ask them. I have to come and make sure what it is that I told them to do, they are doing it. So I'm really not just necessarily training a child, but I'm also training myself, because I find that I am not as consistent as I should be. Huh? I will tell somebody, go and do something, and then I get distracted and I start doing something else, and that's something that they were supposed to do didn't get done, but what I was supposed to do in checking up on it and making sure it was done, I didn't do either. Who is the more guilty?
Yeah.
Who is the more guilty? Mm-hmm. Huh? As far as me and children are concerned, I am the more guilty. Hello? Hallelujah. Well, I can assure you, God is not slack.
That's right.
In his position of oversight with regards to us. Hence, we have tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Hence, we have tribulation. Because God knows that tribulation worketh. I like that. Tribulation worketh. Hallelujah. So tribulation is not a passive thing, in that it's not just an experience of discomfort and pain and discontent or chaos or confusion or whatever emotion might be invoked in us because of it. Hallelujah. Tribulation for us as born-again believers is extremely necessary, as is tribulation for children when they don't do what they're told to do. Hello? Hallelujah. So, you know, and I'm not saying that we have somebody, they don't do, okay, we have this list of things they do. We come in and we look at it and they didn't do this and this and this. Well, for that day, they have some kind of restriction on them. Hello? They can't go outside. They can't play with the computer. They can't do this or they can't do that. Whatever the case may be, something that qualifies as tribulation. God doesn't have to do that with me. I mean, he knows what it is that I need, and he brings the appropriate tribulation. My responsibility in being tribulated is to understand why I'm being tribulated.
That's right.
Hello? Now, with the children, I hope you don't mind me using you. With the children, it may be somewhat more visibly or
more specific.
vocally there than with God. But I can guarantee you, if God is tribulating me, God wants me to know why I'm being tribulated.
Yeah. Yeah.
He wants me to know, and I can ask him. Now, I don't know. I don't know if the children come when they are being disciplined and say, "Why are you disciplining me?" Okay, well, that's good. Praise the Lord. But I'm just using it as an example. But we should train our children to know, you know, because in training our children, we are training ourselves. So if I am expecting my children to say, well, why are you disciplining me? And I can tell them why I'm disciplining you, because you did not do this, and you did not do this, and you did not do that. Hallelujah. And what were you supposed to do? I was supposed to do all of those things. Well, you didn't do them, so you're tribulated. Now tomorrow, you can do better. Hello? So I have a responsibility. I have to go back to God. I have to go into God, and I have to wait on the Lord. Lord, look at this. This thing is a problem for me, and there is something going on here, and I am being tribulated. I want to know why you are tribulating me. I think it's a legitimate question. Praise the Lord. I was in a situation with a brother one day, and he was going through some difficulties, some physical difficulties concerning one of his members. And in the course of time, in talking with them over a period of time, you know, the Lord spoke to me as to what the situation was and why it was. So one day we were able to sit down, and he asked me about the situation, and I said to him, this is what the Lord spoke, blah, 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 blah. Well, when he heard it, he got a little irritated with me. But nevertheless, the brother was a good brother. He went to the Lord. The Lord told him to hear, to listen, and to obey. And you know, when he began to obey, the problem went away. And this was a problem physically that he was dealing with for many, many weeks. Maybe months. I don't know how long. Years. Praise the Lord, huh?
Years.
Okay. She says years. So so we have a responsibility. We have a position or a need to want to know. Sometimes we don't want to know. Sometimes we want to blame the devil. Well, you can blame the devil, because sometimes God lets the devil loose on you.
Well, sometimes we know, we just don't want to deal with it.
Well, yes, sometimes we know. Well, that can get even more serious. So we have a responsibility, and it says to add you, me, add to your faith virtue.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, Paul said it in a different place, in a different way. He says, little children, I travail again, what? That Christ be formed into you. That means physically emplaced. Physically implanted.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Inside of you, developing and growing as much as a woman grows the seed that is within her. My God, that produces a child. Hallelujah. So it is a position or a place of nature. Now, we also have to understand where it is that God wants to take us at the end of the day. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because you don't build a house or do some work, well, at least I never did, without some sort of drawing concerning the house. And not only drawing of the mechanics of it, but somehow, some way, in the midst of all of it, there was a gift that God gave me. If you just gave me a drawing of sticks and whatnot, I could always see the finished product. Hello? I could always see the finished product. And when I was building that project, that finished project was always in my mind. I saw it in my mind as a finished product. Hallelujah. And we have to understand where it is that God is taking us. Not in the idea of sometime out there in eternity, but in the time frame that God has given us as individuals, no matter how short or how long it is, there is in that time frame everything that God that we need to do what it is that God wants to accomplish. Hallelujah. It doesn't make any difference, the time frame. You understand? What was his name? David Brenner? Was that his name? He died how? He was Brainerd. What? 28?
Brenner.
Huh?
David Brenner.
Yeah, he was in...
I think he was 27.
He was 27 or 28. But in those 28 years,
right,
there was such a steadfastness and an ability of the man to believe in his ability to touch the hem of God's garment. And as he touched it, he knew the reality of what he was requiring of God was finished. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And all of that training was to bring him to the point at one place to where he would succumb to the physical realm of his body. Praise the Lord. But I can guarantee you when David Brenner stand before the Lord didn't look at his 27 years or his 28 years. He looked at the character of God that was produced by his position of working in the midst of his tribulation to bring forth the righteousness of God.
Amen.
Hello? Hallelujah. And I can guarantee you that it was, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. So it's not a matter of length or entirety of life. It is a matter of the quality and the intensity of which one has to follow the will and to do the things that God has given us in the aspect of building the nature of Him inside of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it is indicative. The Lord says, it says, and add to your faith virtue. Virtue is indicative of nature. It is indicative of quality. It's indicative of a position or a place. Hallelujah. Of character that is outside of our human thinking.
My dictionary said moral perfection. That's way,
hallelujah,
way beyond my ken.
Hallelujah. It says to make, it says, and this diligence gives you the ability to make. I don't know. Have you looked at these little words when you're reading a scripture? Let me get to make. It says with the names of things made to produce, construct, form, fashion, to be the authors of, to make ready, to prepare, to produce, to bear, to shoot forth. To acquire, to provide a thing for oneself, for to make things out of something. Hello? To make, render one anything, to make, constitute, to appoint one anything, to appoint or ordain one, to make, declare one anything, to put forth, to lead him out, to make one to do something, cause one to be the authors of a thing. I like that one. To cause one to be the authors of a thing. Hallelujah. What does it say in that concept? What does it say of Jesus Christ? Does that bring a scripture to your mind? Huh? Jesus Christ is the what?
The author.
And the finisher. Of what?
Faith.
Of whose faith?
Our
faith. Praise the Lord. So in the aspect of what it is that Peter is telling us, we have a demonstration of the reality of it in a man.
Yeah.
Not in a God man, in a man that has God inside of him. There's a difference. Hello, at least in my thinking, there is a difference between a God man and a man that has God inside of him. That means that the God inside of him, in spite of the man around him, is moving into a position or a place of preeminence.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Now, we think it the other way around. And we have a misconception of Jesus Christ because we believe that Jesus Christ had an inroad with God. We believe that. And he did it because he's Jesus Christ. What am I saying? He did it because he is God. But I can't do it. I am not in the same place that he was. Well, in relationship, yes. In the quality or the potential of what is in you, no.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Friends, quite frankly, when you are born again, you have within you the totality of the character and the nature that has the potentiality to be as much God as was Jesus the man. Hallelujah. So we have to be real in our thinking concerning what it is that we have when we are born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Born again. Take one of those. Unwipe one of those. Would you please? Hallelujah. Born again. Hallelujah. We have to go to God. We have to ask God, eradicate from me the theological concept. Eradicate out of my mind the theological concept. The theological aspect of born again. And put in its place the reality of what it is I have. Do you think that Mary was a theological concept? Huh? Mary is a physical example of a person who has met God.
Right.
Hello? Mary was like any other Jew except for the fact that she had found favor. There was a virtue. There was a virtue in Mary that qualified Mary to come in contact with the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't the angel, brethren. It is in contact with the Word.
Yeah.
Hello? It was a Word that was delivered to Mary via an angel. But by the virtue, but in that word was a virtue that was beyond the virtue of her soul. Hello? And when she accepted the truth of the word, when she accepted it, in spite of her position of unbelief, when she accepted it, she became impregnated with the seed of God. Hallelujah. And it is the same with you and I. We had an encounter with a word.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't a man, wasn't a woman, wasn't a Baptist church, wasn't a Pentecostal church. It was an encounter with God in the form, in the fashion of a word, and when we believe it, we were inseminated with a life beyond that of which we had previously.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah! Now, the devil from that moment began to work to invalidate the reality of what it is that you have. He attacks your family. He attacks your finances. He attacks your position or your place of fellowship. He attacks your position or your faith of faith in the Word of God. Every aspect of your life comes under scrutiny of the devil. Praise the Lord. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to believe the devil, or are you going to believe God? Now, within Mary's case, it was more physical. She could not deny the presence of what was in her. Could you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For us, it's not so evident. And so, therefore, it requires a great deal more of my involvement with God and with His Word and with His Spirit to come to a position of assurance that what He said to me in the beginning, hallelujah, is still a valid option. Hello? So the first thing the devil does is he might strike my body. Hallelujah. And am I going to believe now that I am still human? I'm still living under the auspices of Asbel. Or am I going to believe that now I am in a position or place? Now, I am not, I'm just telling you my experience. I'm sharing with you. That's all I'm doing. Hallelujah. Am I going to believe that what I have is something that is far superior than what it was I that I did not have before I got it? Hello? Hello? Are you there? Are you listening to me? So what am I going to do? I am going to go and I'm going to resist the devil. First thing I'm going to do is resist the thing that is afflicting me. Lord, this cannot be of you. This flesh is not in subjection to the fact of what it is that I'm involved in. Now, I'm doing this on the basis of what I believe.
That's right.
You can't do it on the basis of what I believe. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? You can't do it on the basis of what I believe, because the devil came to that man and he says, Paul, we know, and Jesus, we know, but I don't know you.
Right.
And they beat the tar out of him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I come to God and I begin to exercise. I begin to push myself. Now, I may not really believe it.
Yeah.
Hour down the road. God, how come you're not doing something? You know, I don't know. Maybe you don't do these things. Or maybe it's gotten worse. And I said, what happened, Lord? I prayed and now I'm worse. Hello? That ever happened? Happened to me all the time. Hallelujah. What am I going to do? Am I going to capitulate now? Or what am I going to do? Hallelujah. Well, I have to come back. Lord, you put the blood upon me. You gave me a new platform. I'm in a new position, supposedly under a new authority. And if that authority is not over me because of something I've done or something I'm the way I'm moving or what I'm thinking, then please do something about that. Hallelujah. So, long story short, down through the struggle of it, down through the nitty-gritty of it, God comes and I find the release.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not overnight. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it isn't. It's not overnight. It's a period of time of wrestling with not just the devil. I'm wrestling with my own humanity. I'm wrestling with the spirit of my father and my mother and my grandfather and my grandmother on both sides, the German or whatever else may be there. I'm wrestling with it and overcoming it and bringing it into a position of subjection. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So at the end of the day, God knows I have added something to my faith.
Yes.
I wasn't just healed of my malady, brethren. There was something of virtue that was created within me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And so now the devil wants, the devil has to step up the ante.
Huh? Which he does.
Because I'm a little bit stronger now. And I'm moving in a greater capacity that is a greater threat to him. So he has to step up the ante. He has to push a few more chips into the pot, into the table. Am I going to call him? Well, I have to make up my mind prior to the calling that I'm going to call him. She says, add to your faith, virtue, and what? Add to your virtue,
knowledge.
Hallelujah. Knowledge is something that comes not just in studying, but in experience.
That's right.
Hallelujah. So it is necessary. It says, the Bible says that we enter into the kingdom of God through what? Much tribulation. We have to be a tribulated people. We have to understand the necessity for tribulation. We have to be able to be ready to meet tribulation. Not just ready, brethren, but eager. Oh, boy. Well, all of us have to overcome that thought, right? We have to be eager to overcome it. We have to be eager to confront it. We have to be eager to want to do something about it. Because without that thought, without that position, then there will be no development of the thing that God is building within you. And what he's building within you is the nature of God. As we give up something of ourselves, God replaces it with something of himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give And what?
It shall be given.
And Revelations, it says, come by. You're poor, you're miserable, you're blind, you got filthy rags, filthy garments. He says, come by.
Yes.
Come by. I have to give something of myself. Now, I like the fact that they say buy. Because money is something that we all have to deal with. In one fashion, one form. Sometimes we spend too much of it, or sometimes we spend what we don't have of it, or somehow, whatever the case may be. And sometimes we have it, and we don't want to turn loose of it. Hallelujah. 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 But it says, come buy of me. You know, in some respects, with regards to this thought, there is something in the scripture that talks about the love of money being what? The root of all evil. So brethren, somewhere along the line, after you've trimmed all the branches and hacked down the tree, you still have the root to deal with.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And somehow, someway, whatever your situation is, or my situation is, God has tailored a tribulation to fix it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, come buy of me. When it says to me, are you going to buy it? That means, am I going to reach into my pocket? Am I going to dig down there? Am I going to pull it out? And am I going to put it on the table? And am I willing to be tribulated in doing it? Maybe it's something that does. Let's just use an actual financial situation. Maybe it's the circumstances where God has come to take something from me, or has come to ask of me an offering. Let me put it that way. Huh? It's not. I'm not conscious that God is asking me to make an offering. I'm looking at it and thinking they're ripping me off. They're taking my money. They are robbing me blind. And sometimes there is a robbery going on. But I'm not talking about those times. I'm talking about those times when I'm in a situation and God determines to touch my pocketbook.
Yeah.
Huh? Am I going to make it an offering? Or am I going to make it a robbery? Interesting thought, don't you think, Jim? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we have a responsibility. You and I have a responsibility to add. Not subtract, add. But in the adding, you're subtracting something.
Right.
Hallelujah. What you are losing is the platform of your humanity. And what you are gaining is the platform of divinity. Hallelujah. So we need to have a different concept. We have to have a different thought. And we have to approach our positions of tribulation with a different perspective. Hallelujah. God bless you.
May I just add a thought that Mrs. DeSeal said. She said, it says to add to your faith virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. And she was saying, we can have knowledge, but if we don't temper it, if we don't temper it, we will get puffed up and we will misuse the knowledge. That there has to be that balance. And I never really thought about it that way. You know, you think about, give me knowledge, give me understanding, but there has to be a temperance that also goes with that in order for it to be pure.
That word virtue is really pretty incredible. I looked it up in the 1828, and then I looked it in the interlinear. And this is the 1828 definition here. The radical sense is strength, from strain, stretching, extending. This is the primary sense of the Latin word vir, which is the first part of virtue, or a man. The number one definition is strength, the substance or quality of physical bodies by which they act and produce effects on other bodies. In this literal and proper sense, we speak of the virtue or virtues of plants in medicine and the virtues of drugs. The second definition, and this is the one that the interlinear uses, is bravery, valor. This was the predominant signification of virtus, which is the Latin word, among the Romans. The sense of bravery and valor in the interlinear bears it out, that your faith, what came to me as a chorus of a song that I like, is that your faith, you are strengthening your faith. You are increasing the strength of your faith, and there's a chorus, and it says, doubt your doubts and believe your beliefs.
What came to me as he was talking about, Mary's encounter was the bottom line was Mary still had a choice.
Yeah.
And each one of us are confronted with choices all the time that are going to affect our character and to whether or not we're going to acquire virtue or any of the other attributes or characters of God is by choices that we make. And most times than not, we have to make choices in our tribulations. And so God help us to make good choices and right choices.
What came to me is Dad was talking about that in the sense of adding strength to your faith, is that Mary was confronted with the choice. And like you're saying, I believe it was a choice. She could have declined it. She was confronted with the reality that for the rest of her life, she would always be known among her peer set, among her community, as that woman who was found with child outside of marriage.
That's true. That's a very good point.
And she not only did she count the cost, but she readily embraced it. For the faith that was within her, knowing that this was an angel of the Lord, and that it was better to be found with child, with the implanted seed of Christ within her, than to deny it and to
because
cease to be a part of the plan of God.
Because the other side of it was that she was always Mary, the mother of Jesus. That was the attribute. Mm-hmm.